Praise you, Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, let's get fired up for our King. The Lord of the heavenly armies is his name. Before we enter into this word, this message, let's always enter into prayer. And welcome his Holy Spirit. And welcome him right here with us. Heavenly Father, you are our general. You are the Lord of the heavenly armies, Lord. You are the victor. And Lord, there is a victorious crown waiting for each and every one of us who finish your race. So Lord, let us line behind you and stand firm in the authority that you have given us as your people, as your ambassadors and representatives on this earth. Lord, it's your light that shines through us, not through any of our effort, but by your mercy and grace. And Lord, you are the chain breaker. You are the way maker. You are the planet shaker. Lord, your word says that everything will be shaken, and everything that will be shaken from within. And Lord, your shaking begins with your people. If your people are not stirred up and fired up for you, how will others be stirred up? How will others be changed? Lord, if you cannot move us or change us, nothing else will. So Lord, in this authority, in this place, Lord, open our eyes and our hearts and let us understand what your Holy Spirit has to say to us this day in your time. Because this moment is your time. So Lord, I just thank you that you have our backs, you have our fronts, you have our behinds, you have a plan and a destiny over each and every one of our lives. And there is nothing on this earth, below this earth, in the heavens, that will change that. And there is nothing that will separate us from the love. Because your love never fails, Lord. And that, Lord, your promise is to complete the work that you start in every single one of us for those who are the called. In Jesus' name, we give you all the glory, Lord. So I started with a different message. I was going to teach science today. I was going to teach nature. But really, this is the hour of his time. And these are his appointed times and the season of God's design. I am the Alpha and Omega. We're in session 3. God's order from chaos. And this message is born of a need. And over the, can you believe we're into our 4th month now in these teachings? And this message, you know, the Holy Spirit keeps bringing me back because he wants us, there's something that we're not getting. And it's my role to stand here, not only to be taught, but also to teach. It's not only to stand, but also to enable you to stand. Okay. So, as I've said before, we can do these studies, we can have all the knowledge, but if we don't acknowledge God for who he is, for his character, his authority, and his nature, and we don't worship him, it is all for naught. So yeah, God's order from chaos. You know, the disciples never asked Jesus, how do we preach? The disciples asked Jesus, "Teach us to pray." How do we pray? And what do we pray? And for those of us who think we can do it in our own strength, our own way, God shows us a more excellent way through prayer. So the self-sufficient, the person who believes that all his needs are provided by himself, does not pray. The self-satisfied will not pray. The self-righteous cannot pray. No man is greater than his prayer life. It's in prayer that breakthrough and change comes. Because whenever God means to make a man great, he always breaks him in pieces first. This is God's order out of chaos. So if we feel in our lives there are circumstances in our own individual, our families, our loved ones, our friends, our acquaintances, you know, we don't feel in control. We feel out of control. But God's way of restoring order is to take the chaos of what our lives used to be and make us into the likeness and the image. What does Paul say? Be imitators of me. Be imitators because I imitate Christ. Be imitators of Christ. Follow after Christ. And this whole walk as a Christian is to become more like Him. And the only way that we can become more like Him is to have less of me. Less of me. I must decrease and the Lord must increase. These are the four musts. A man must be born again. And what is rebirth? What is to be born again? Is it a 5-minute prayer that is said on an emotion or an impulse or a feeling? Or is it a transformation? Is it a complete turning around? Is it a birthing process? As men, we've not been given the honor of bearing a child. But certainly one of the greatest honors of my life was to see the birth of my own child. Now, as a woman, you understand that the process of carrying a child to full term and the process of bearing and giving birth to that child, I'm not talking about C-sections here, I'm talking about natural childbirth. It doesn't happen in 5 minutes. It doesn't happen like that. Believe me, there is travail. There is anguish. There is pain. There is all of these things that happen first in the birthing process. And this is the process of being born again of the Holy Spirit of God. Because God has to kill off the old man. We say this, we have the old has passed and the new has become. So my question is, so what is new? God is not in the business of touching lives, He's in the business of changing lives. And the process of repentance, and in the Greek it talks about changing direction completely. You were walking this way, and then you are now walking another way completely. And you don't turn back. A man who puts his hand on the plow and looks back is not worthy for the kingdom of God, is what Jesus says in the book of Luke. And we're coming back to this. Create in me a clean heart. This is one of the most incredible psalms that was ever written. And it was written by King David when he realized his sin against Bathsheba. This is Psalm 51. He realized and he repented from his sin when he realized the error of his ways. And in Psalm 51 verse 10 it says, God, create a pure heart in me and renew a right attitude within me. Do not cast me from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and let a willing attitude control me. The Holy Spirit is the seal that each of us have been given as a believer. And to be born again, where Jesus says we must be born of water and born of the Spirit. Being born of water is being born by the water of the womb. And being born of the Spirit is being born of the Holy Spirit of God. For those of you who say that the Holy Spirit didn't exist in the Old Testament, you just need to read Genesis 1. The Spirit brooded over the waters. The Holy Spirit was very much there with God's nation and God's people. And David understood this. And the Holy Spirit restores the joy of your salvation. Have we lost our joy? Have we lost our zeal? Have the circumstances overwhelmed us? And here David is saying, let a willing attitude control me. And he goes on to say, indeed you do not delight in sacrifices, or I would give them, nor do you desire burnt offerings. Anybody can make a sacrifice. You know, it's not costing me anything. You know, maybe a little bit. I mean, anybody can place a tithe or give some donation. It's an attitude of heart and it's an attitude of life. You know, and he says here, true sacrifice to God is a broken spirit. A broken and a chastened heart, God, you will not despise. This is what David was saying 3,000 years ago. And this is an important message for each and every one of us. Because religions and traditions do not bring liberty, do not bring freedom. Traditions or going through the motions do not bring pure spiritual breakthrough. And this is what the sacrifices were to the Jews, to the people in the temple. They would give a different type of sacrifice depending on the type of atonement that they were after. Do you know what is quite interesting? That from the beginning of the feast of Yom Teruah, which is the Feast of Trumpets, to the Days of Atonement, the day in which the high priest used to enter into the Holy of Holies, it was a period of 10 days. Do you know what those days were called? Shock and awe. That was a nation coming to repentance. And as a believer, we can remember this. So this was the cleansing that happened. You know, the law of prayer is the law of harvest. If we sow sparingly in prayer, we are going to reap sparingly. If we sow bountifully in prayer, we shall reap bountifully. The trouble is we are trying to get from our efforts what we have never put into them. We reap what we sow. It's an age-old spiritual principle. Prayer and the sowing of prayer. And what is sown in tears will be reaped in joy. And this is the part of the brokenness. God does not break you to destroy you. He wants to, you know, this is the scripture. You do not put new wine in old wineskins. You take the new harvest and you put it into new skins. A new way. You can't just empty out the bottle and fill it up with something else. Because the contamination in the old bottle is still there. And what does Jesus say is that those wineskins will burst. Because they're worn out. And this is what this creating a new heart, creating a clean heart, a heart that is sensitive and obedient and willing to hear the voice of God. And David, this is a shepherd boy. And yet God raised him up to be a king. He was despised by his brothers. He was mocked and ridiculed. We all know the story of David and Goliath. You know, and the selection of David and Goliath. But David, he was just a herdsman. But yet, in that quiet place, in those pastures and in those fields, God raised up an incredible king. And he made an incredible covenant with this young boy. And he reigned for 40 years. And God gave them a design of his temple. And because of his sin against Bathsheba, you know, actions have consequences. Because of his sin against Bathsheba, he was denied the honor of building the temple. And it was given to his son Solomon. So Solomon built the temple, but it was the plans that were given. And this is why the Lord says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Rebellion against God. So now it's coming back in line to God. And so David is saying here, those who weep while they plant will sing for joy while they harvest. The one who goes out weeping, carrying out bags of seeds, will surely return with a joyful song, bearing sheaves from his harvest. Beautiful words. And this is the true sacrifice that God requires of us. And this is how we are strengthened and grown up so that we can stand. And in Psalm 6, you know, David says again, I am weary with my groaning, and all the nights make I my bed to swim. And in the King James it says to swim with tears. I water my couch with my tears. Mine eye is consumed because of the grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. Prayer is not a shopping list. Prayer is praying God's will into existence. And I'm going to get into it now, because it's important that we understand this process. It says, for the Lord hath heard my application, and the Lord will receive my prayer. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sorely vexed, and let them return and be ashamed suddenly. And this is the process of no weapon formed against God's children shall prosper, but it will return in vain. And in other parts of the scripture is that whatever the enemy tries to do, that curse will be returned sevenfold back in the direction from whence it came. And this is the protection that God gives us. But first, God is looking for men and women of kneeling, not of standing. And this is the difference. Do you know that the word blessed in Hebrew is to kneel down? Did you know this? When we bless the Lord, we kneel in His presence. Think about this. We think blessing is standing like this. No. Blessing is getting on our knees. What happened whenever an angel rocked up in the Bible? What happened whenever the Holy Spirit rocked up? Or people had a supernatural experience? They fell on their faces. Not on their backs. Not laughing. On their faces, weeping. You are on holy ground. We serve a holy God. And without holiness and understanding, and this book that you're reading, Heidi, about the awe of God, is understanding, you know, for me, I had to understand the holiness of God and the sanctuary that God allows us, that refuge. It is a holy sanctuary. And this refuge that each of us have a spiritual sanctuary. Each of us have a spiritual garden. Each of us have a spiritual storehouse. And there's a bigger message on that one. But there are spiritual reservoirs for each of us. And I've mentioned this before, but now's the time to talk through this. Is God, you keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. This is Psalm 56, verse 8. Every single tear that is shed, God records in a book. As I said, there are more books in heaven. They are not just the Lamb's Book of Life. And this is one of these books. Because this is where we, out of anguish and out of desperation, are seeking the Lord in all earnesty, in spirit and in truth. And prayer is not just about quoting God's word. God knows His word, don't you think? He wrote it. He wants our hearts to be laid at the altar of prayer. Personal prayer. Desperate prayer. Individual prayer for specific needs. God knows His word. And watch your prayer life and let it grow. Because as your prayer life grows, you will also grow in your strength and authority in Jesus.
Can I ask something?
Yes.
We talked now, I just missed a bit of the conversation, and how we must be careful what we speak when we say we don't. You know, I'm not feeling well, I think I'm getting a cold, or the negative things that we must learn how to speak. But when we pray and we speak to the Lord, do we pray there in honesty to say, I am so terrified of this, or I'm so scared this is going to happen? Do we then speak to Him in honesty, even the negative things? Or do we just praise Him already for the solution, or can we lay the negative things in front of Him?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm going to go through specifics with that degree. And to answer Jenny's question that you asked in the beginning, was that the power of the tongue has the power to bring life or bring death, to bring blessing or to bring a curse. And that is why what we speak over ourselves.
But when we speak it to God, but it's when we praying, it's asking to
you. I'm going to get, when we speak it to God, this is what David says. David says that even when I sleep, Lord, you search my thoughts, you search my heart, and you make me speak your words God knows the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. He knows our pain. He knows our brokenness. He knows our circumstances. Even before the words that we utter, He knows the words we shall speak. This is the God we serve. And so yes, we have pains. Our bodies are not what they used to be. We have wounds, whether they be, we have scars. Our family, everything in this life. You know, life is not linear. It doesn't work in that way. Life is a proving ground and a strengthening ground. And it's for those who stand firm or stand up and grow spiritually. And this is coming out of the meek and mild prayer. Prayer is about praying in the authority that God has given us. Not from the brokenness the world has sold us,
yes,
and moving out of the lies, but rather moving into the strength of God. And I was never taught how to pray. I still, as a younger man, had many Sunday school images still about the Bible. But God had to take me out of this world and, you know, get down to business. I had to be still. I had to be broken and put together and broken and put together and again. And this is how you forge a sword. You know, out of steel, you melt it in that fire. And that blacksmith takes that sword, puts it into that hot, makes that sword so flaming hot. And then he puts it onto the anvil and then he bangs it with all of his strength. And then he puts it into the water. He cools it off to bring the strength. And then he repeats this process into that fire, onto the anvil, banging it, making the edges sharp, forming it, and then searing it in the water, sealing that strength. Steel can only be tempered in this way. It will not have strength. It will be brittle. It will not have sharpness or an edge. And it takes a very skilled blacksmith to be able to do this. And how great is our God? We have the Creator of us, and who does that to us. And this is the love of God. And I've said this before, we have to be able to stand in the fire, but our faith is knowing that we will not get harmed in the fire.
Yes.
That God has placed us in the fire to grow us, to remove the chaff. You know, it's that wheat and the chaff, it's that outer husk. You know, He has to crack our eggs. And He does it differently with everybody. But there's a process. We have to come to a point of cracking. Because now, what's happened is the Holy Spirit, He's a wonderful gardener. You know, we have this, we are a tree, and we have, you know, the soil and all these root structure. And so many times we think we've actually dealt with the issue, or we're over this pain, or we're not, I don't worry about that anymore. But there are so many things that are hidden, and this is the secret chambers that I talked about in the temple. Those hidden things. And Song of Solomon talks about the little foxes. It's the little foxes that spoil the harvest, that spoil the ripened grapes. And many of the times we are unaware of what those deep roots are, those corrupted roots, those roots of lies from the father of lies, from the devil himself, that he's placed there. Because the Bible says, do not give the enemy a foothold. Because there are many seeds that are planted. And many times, you know, we'll take that seed without even realizing it, and it'll bring forth roots. But what the Holy Spirit does is He plays Roundup. And He softens the soil. And He starts removing that soil. And starts exposing in a loving way. This is where God's love comes in. He exposes and reveals to us. This is the root of the problem. There's no use putting a band-aid on it. And what we're talking about today is, let's not be band-aid Christians. Let's not be Van Dyke putting his fingers in the wall to try and stop the water from leaking and be in the defensive. This is about true transformation into a new creation. So we feel that we are weak and we feel that breakthrough is not coming. And it's completely natural. Everybody goes through this. It's completely natural. And we will be discouraged. But, you know, this is where David once again understands this. He says, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far from delivering me from my groaning words? My God, I cry out to you throughout the day, but you do not answer. And throughout the night, I have no rest. There's times in our life when we can't seem to find that place. We can't seem to find the answer and the outcome. And David continues, for he does not despise nor detest the afflicted person. He's referring to God. And he does not hide his face from him. But he hears him when he cries out to him. God answers desperate prayer. I've said this before. Hannah's prayer is one of the most desperate prayers in the Word of God. She prayed. She was a barren woman. She had no hope of children. And she prayed so fervently and out of such desperation. Even the priests wanted to kick her out of the temple. They thought she was drunk. But yet God heard her prayer. And he not only answered her prayer, he gave the world a prophet. And his name was Samuel. And Samuel anointed the first king of Israel. That is the power of prayer, breakthrough prayer. And he continues, and he says, they will come and declare his righteousness to a people yet to be born. Now he's talking future. And this is the most important part. Indeed, he has accomplished it. This is changing our point of view. It is done already. Whatever circumstance we think we are in, whatever challenge, whatever obstacle, whatever need, God has already planned. He's already answered the prayer. He's done it. This is how Jesus could say when he was on the cross, "Tetelestai," it is finished. And he was speaking about all past, present, and future. Our God is not a God with a lot of time. He inhabits eternity. And when we pray, the disciples pray. Because it is the disciples' prayer. The Lord's prayer is in John 17. But the disciples' prayer, when we pray, Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's already done in heaven. And this is the point of view that we need to pray from. It's happened. The manifestation in this world is not according to my time. Because the other thing that God tests in prayer is endurance in prayer. We need to persevere in prayer. So David understood this, that he was declaring righteousness to a people who are yet to be born. He was declaring over his future generations and future seed and generations after generations. But he knew that God would accomplish it because He is God. Let's not contain Him, but rather live in the liberty of Him. And so, this is a key. If we are weak in prayer, we are weak everywhere. This is the battlefield. This is where the battle is won as a believer. In every circumstance is in prayer, but authoritative prayer. Not from a broken... Yes, there are times to be broken, but there are also times to stand firm. Okay? And Jesus taught us this. How Jesus was broken to feed many. Not only in the Last Supper, but also when He fed the 5,000, when He fed the multitude with those loaves of bread, He broke that bread to feed many. And this is the principle, is Jesus gave up His body, He gave up His life, so that He could feed many. And we could live and have a way out to be reconciled back to God. And this was the process. If we look in Colossians, we look at how God Himself became man. And yet, through His suffering in His obedience, did He lay His life on the cross, only for God to raise Him to the right hand of the Father. Go and read that, Colossians. It's absolutely incredible. And the question is, are we willing ourselves to be broken to feed many? And this is clear in Hosea 6 verse 1. He says, "Come, let us return to the Lord, for He hath torn, and He will heal us, and He hath smitten, and He will bind us up." Because God is restoring. He is in the business of restoration. He is in the business of reconciliation. But our egos, ourselves, get in the way so many times of that breakthrough. If we are not willing to be broken. And not to say that we are perfect. None of us are perfect. It's a process. We make mistakes. We say things that we don't mean in the heat of the moment. But it's the process of coming back to God and surrendering. And then God will lift us up. And Hosea understood this. I mean, this poor guy, I mean, God told him to marry a prostitute. Hosea is an incredible book. And he had three children, but he didn't know whose father they were of any of those children. Hosea is an incredible book. But here he's saying, come, let us return to the Lord. And He will bandage us. And the book of Psalms, David again, he says He heals the brokenhearted. He is binding up the injuries. He restores us to fullness. This is the fullness of His joy. And in Matthew 16, this is what Jesus says. It says, "Then He said unto His disciples, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me." We know this verse, but understand it from this perspective, from this point of view, from God's point of view. For whosoever shall save his life will lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for My sake shall find it. And this is the process. When we become born again of the Holy Spirit of God, when God breaks down the old man, the old woman, and He starts building up, we find true life, eternal life in God. This is the hope that we hold on to. And He says, for what is it a man profits if he shall gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? And for what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? There is nothing that you or I can do in the physical that can ever change anybody else. I mean, I remember in rehab, you know, and I stand here as a living testimony. I've been in rehab twice. I've been on all kinds of pharmacological, psychiatric, drugs, therapy, counseling. And you know what? God is the one who restored. Because He's the one who made my soul.
Yes.
And He addressed the issues that man could not overcome. And so there are those of us that, you know, we don't know where to turn. And it's out of desperation. And there was a prayer that we were taught in rehab as a serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. It probably took me about a decade to get that, but you know, it was something we said every day. But to really understand it is that I can never change anybody else's heart. You will never be able to change anybody else and the way that they behave. But what you can do is it starts with me. And then God is in the business of changing that other person. So in our prayer, we place that person in the firing line of God. And we say, Holy Spirit, pursue that person. Holy Spirit, bring her, bring him back to you. Restore his life. Restore her life. You know, bring breakthrough and deliverance from the bondage. And praying is about reaching into eternity. God lives in eternity. And this is something God taught me last year about prayer. The spiritual strength and breadth of the church is only as strong as the prayer meeting and the prayers of the saints. The spiritual strength of every individual fellowship, every individual person's walk and life with God is the strength of their prayer life. There is no other way about it. The spiritual strength of a nation is the strength of a nation's prayer. The spiritual condition or morality or immorality is about the strength of the nation and church's prayer. Because the word church does not mean a building. In the Greek it is ecclesia, which means the called out or separated ones. We have been called out of this world, not to be partakers of this world, but to be a different nation. This is what God says. He says we are pilgrims in this earth. Because just as the world rejected Christ, they will reject you too. If the world accepts our form of Christianity, is this the same gospel that Jesus died on the cross for? Is this the same gospel that was preached by the apostles of the church who were persecuted? Who were hated, who were despised by this world? And so prayer is reaching into eternity. And this is our offensive weaponry. Because Ephesians 6, we've gone over this, the armor of God. What does it start off? It says, do everything that you can to stand firm. So that's the first step. Then we put the armor on. And then what do? We get into battle. The armor of God is not just about defensive. It is an offensive weaponry. How many times have we engaged in battle in our full armor, ready to go to war? Because we are in a war, a spiritual war for the hearts and the souls of men and women and children who are lost, who are blinded, who are living in darkness, who are without hope. Someone I know committed suicide yesterday, a young boy, not even 16 years old, and from a Christian family. And nobody knows why. How sad and how desperate and how alone and in what despair do you feel? Even in a Christian surrounding, from a Christian school, that you cannot cry out for help. And this is the compassion that God gives us. And that's why we need to be able to bring hope into people's lives, into their circumstances. Because the world is without hope. So they're always being busy doing other things which have got nothing to do with eternal matters. And there's nothing worse than a child for a parent to bury their own child. Can you imagine? You know, a parent is not supposed to bury their child. There's something seriously wrong in this world. And there's something seriously wrong with the church if that's happening. If I look at the statistics of the number of young people who are taking their lives, the number of young people who are overdosing on drugs, the number of people under the bondage of addiction, under so many different types of bondages. And, you know, the church is the one who's supposed to be the light. We are the ones who're supposed to show the way out, but not with empty words or with empty deeds, but with the authority and the strength of God's army. And this is what it is. It seems like we have to defend. You know? And our Christian walk is about defending. No, it's not. We have to change our point of view and get on the offense. Because the enemy does not have the authority. This is the victory of Jesus Christ that we stand under, because He is the judge, the lawgiver. We are His magistrates. We are to exercise the authority. That's what the magistrate does. And so we are not to defend, but we are rather to encroach. Because what did Jesus say to Peter? He said, "Unto you I give you the keys to the kingdom, and what? The gates of hell shall not prevail against my kingdom." That is the church. This is where the heart of prayer is. This is where the defensive lines are drawn. And this is where we go on the offense through spiritual warfare to bring change, to bring breakthrough in not only ours, but other people's lives around us. And fervent prayer, passionate prayer, desperate prayer, groaning prayer, righteous prayer, uncompromising prayer. This is the prayer of a prayer warrior. And you want to know how to preach or to pray? This is how we pray. And not giving an inch kind of prayer is praying God's will into existence here on earth in our community. This is the attitude of prayer. This is having the right heart and attitude in prayer. And it's not the meek and mild prayer or a shopping list type prayer. We are not praying from a position of brokenness. And this is going to take some time to get, but once you get this, don't buy the lies of the devil any longer. He is the father of all lies. And the one thing that the devil hates is a praying people. The one thing that the devil hates is an overcoming and all-conquering people. Jesus says, "For do not fear the world, because I have overcome the world." That is the authority of the prayer. The world will not swallow us up. Just like Jesus walked on the water, he commanded the forces of nature. Just like he rescued the nation out of Egypt, and the nation was removed from the bondage of slavery. God performed incredible miracles. This is still the same God we serve today. We still have the Holy Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. Not only rose Jesus, but every other dead body in Jerusalem at the time. There were many people, the dead gave up their dead. This is the power of God. You know, it wasn't just Jesus. I mean, the religious leaders didn't know what to do. And it was the same thing with Lazarus. You know, and it was incredible. That testimony of Lazarus, when, you know, he was told that Lazarus was sick, but Jesus didn't go. He let him die. And he still didn't go, and he let him die and die. And until such a stage, and this is where I love the King James, it says that they entered into his tomb, and he stinketh. You know, he was starting to decay. And then he rose him from the dead, so that no man can say that this was an accident or that this was not of supernatural miracle and of origin. And the Pharisees didn't know what to do, because here was this Lazarus who was dead. He was stinking. He was decaying. And yet God can remove every form of bondage and decay in all of our lives. Okay. And so this prayer that God answers is specific, targeted prayer. God answers specifics. Details. It's in the details. And it's breaking the chains prayer. And salvation and deliverance prayer. Persevering prayer. Don't stop praying. Paul says, pray without ceasing. Do not stop. So many times we stop before the breakthrough is about to come. So many times we give in and we just stop for a moment. And we're just there. We're so close to that blessing. We're so close to that deliverance. But we waver. And this is, we cannot allow the devil to win. Because this is our victory place, this prayer closet. And the patient prayer. Because in Revelation, what does it say? This is the patience and the perseverance of the prayers of the saints. And most importantly, the heart of prayer is one of the highest forms of praise and worship to God. Praise and worship and prayer of very closely tied together. In prayer, we give adoration, we give glory, we give praise. We give honor to God. We edify Him, we address Him by His character, His authority. As I say, we don't need to quote the scripture to Him. He knows, He wrote His word. He wants our hearts. We're not parrots. God creates us uniquely and individually. But He places a need and a burden within our heart. Or He places us in a circumstance. If something, for example, is not working right, or something, there's something, that's often when we need to just stop and ask the Holy Spirit, what is it, Lord? What am I not seeing? I'm missing something here. There's something, you know, because your promise is to answer my prayer, but it's not being answered. So why is it? What am I missing? And every time the Jews got upset in the Gospels, there's always a message there. Something that Jesus was doing. There's always a message. When there's ever there's something that sits there in you and it's like, what is it? Something we're missing. And so, also, In prayer, it's also the true heart of prayer is stillness. Be still and know that I am God. Prayer is not just about making our requests. It's a conversation. It's a relationship. Just as we have relationships with each other, the intimacy of our relationship, we speak to each other, communicate, and being still and being in that sweet, soft presence of the Holy Spirit, just let Him wash us with His water. You know, there are times when we pray, and there's times, I know, when the air becomes thick with His Holy Spirit. The air becomes like water, literally thick and dense. It's that peace. And then you just stay there. Don't say a word, just stay. The rest of the world, that will take care of itself. But once we get into that presence of the Lord, we stay there. And this is the thing, God had me read a lot about the Puritans and a lot about praying men and women when He first saved me. You know, people have heard of praying hard. People have heard of David Brainerd. I don't know if you know about Ian Bounds. Leonard Ravenhill. These were incredible men of prayer. Now, praying hard, he was a missionary in India. And his life, all of these men's life stories are absolutely incredible. But the one thing, there was a common thread to all of these guys, is that in the prayer, the praise and the glorification of God through prayer, so addressing God at His title, and addressing Him for who He is, giving Him the praise in prayer. But these men and women of prayer prayed through the circumstance. There wasn't a thing such as a prayer hour or a prayer meeting. These men prayed for hours, for days, for weeks, for years, until they felt in the Spirit the joy and the peace of God in each circumstance. They prayed and persevered until they knew the transaction was done. They didn't stop. They prayed through the night, through the day. They prayed and they fasted, and they prayed some more. And this is what Daniel did for those 21 days. He prayed. Every great man and woman of God has prayed through time itself. Because where does God live? He lives in eternity. So we pray through time. It's not about how much time, it's through it. Time is a dimension. We're praying into the heavens. And this is what these men realized. And in this place is the listening prayer. And the hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit prayer. And the voice of our God. Softly. And in this place, this is the place where sermons are born. This is the place where breakthrough and deliverance comes. In every circumstance. And it's only in this way. We cannot expect to say a 5-minute prayer. Because as I showed you, what you sow in prayer is what you're going to harvest in prayer. So God answers this kind of prayer. And this is where this is born and deliverance by the inspiration of God through the heart of God. How does one know what the heart of God is? How do we know what His will is for us? It's by praying. And reading and studying His Word. And it's through the anguish, through the agony, through the tears, and into the joy and the delight and the hope. Peter says, always be ready to give a reason for the hope that we have, that we need not be ashamed for the gospel of peace. And in the prayer room, this is where eternal hope is born. Not of our own will, not of our own strength. It's born supernaturally. Supernatural faith, supernatural hope, supernatural breakthrough. You know, if we are unsure of anything in this life, we take it to God and pray. Because many are the plans of a man's heart, but it's the way of God that prevails. And this is where, through prayer. So today, I'm teaching you what God has taught me about prayer. And how to bring through the breakthrough. Whether it be in every circumstance, whether it be from a bondage perspective, whether it be from a work perspective, whether it be from being unsure what decision to make. You know, so many times we take a step in faith, and we're stepping in faith, and then we're not, now what? Back to the prayer. So this is an encouragement for all of us, is what we invest in our prayer, what we invest in the time and that communion with God, that intimacy. And as I said last week, a man who is intimate with God is not intimidated by men. And this intimacy in that prayer closet, as well as communal prayer, because we have intimate, private, personal prayer with our Heavenly Father, we also have communal prayer. And we also have external global prayer chains, you know, where we can send prayer out throughout the world. And that's how the body should operate. So we have a need. So my answer to this question now is we don't come from a position of brokenness. We come from a position of strength. Standing on the Word of God, which endures forever. And we stand on the Word of God. But then we pray our hearts. We pray from our hearts. From the depths of our hearts. Because that is what God wants. He wants our hearts. And His promise is, and this I will tell you now, the promise of God is that the faith of the fathers and the mothers will be passed on through the generation to their children, to their children's children, and their children's children. That is the promise of God. And that's what we trust. You know, I stand here today. My mother prayed for more than 20 years for me. And I'm sure there was time when she wavered. I'm sure there was time when she didn't always. And I'm sure there was time when she prayed harder and she prayed less. But you know what? She didn't stop. There's power in prayer. But it's in God's time and His will. And this is where He's teaching us the perseverance and endurance through prayer. So it's reaching into that eternity. And the height and the depth and the breadth of prayer is praying through time itself and reaching into eternity where the Almighty God is. And where Jesus is mediating and interceding for us until He returns. That's in the book of Hebrews. He mediates for us. But we have to reach Him. We have to be prepared to get into that place. Get into, you know, it says we are to boldly come before the throne of grace. But how do we boldly come before the throne of grace if we're still in shackles? And we're still being held back by our own selves, by our own uncleanliness. Because believe me, we cannot enter into that place while we are not cleansed and we are not consecrated. And that's why it starts with the disciples' prayer. You know, let God just cleanse us first. Let there be a cleansing. And it's not about shame and guilt, but it's about consecration and cleansing and being set apart. But to enter into this place, we serve a holy God. There cannot be any filth. So this is also the part of prayer. is that this, we need to be consecrated vessels to enter into that throne room. And this is where praise and worship is so close to prayer. When we enter into that place, we stay there. And this is, as Christians, where we get strong and we get filled with that Holy Spirit. We want supernatural wonders and miracles and manifestations of the Holy Spirit to happen. Just be still. And so many times, we are so confounded and restricted by the traditions or the structure of the service. You know, we have announcements, we have birthdays to announce, we have this, and then we have a few songs, and we get to this place, and we start feeling the Holy Spirit, and then it's into the sermon, and then more time with the coffee and the tea. The real Spirit of God does not work like that. The 120 men and women who turned the world upside down did not operate like that. The early church did not operate like that. And so when we get into that place, we stay. And we bless the Lord. We bow down before Him, honoring Him. And healings and breakthrough and supernatural miracles will happen. When we as a body, we as a fellowship are yielded, and the Holy Spirit will move like a wave. He wants to come in. This is the message in the Church of Laodicea in Revelation. Jesus is saying, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. That's because the church has locked him out. Us as individuals, we've locked him out. We've become comfortable. We've become lukewarm. God would either want us cold or He wants us on fire. He wants us hot. And the only way we do that is by spending that time with Him. So, I hope this message is really from my heart and from God's heart. Because about teaching is about growing and growth. And understanding our point of view must change. And the prayer room is where the battle is fought. And as God's army, that's where it starts. So for those of us, I hope there's some answers that have been provided today. So thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word and that we can come to you in prayer. And this is where I will stop today. This is what it's like to be a community and a fellowship. Bearing our hearts, you know, and growing together. And so, we are not weak, but we are strong. Because God lifts us up. Always. Yeah, so let's just seek His heart and just give Him glory and pray. And just pray that this we understand His point of view. And let's not be sick in our prayers. Let's be alive and quickened. Okay. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father, that we can come into your presence, Lord. How wonderful it is to look upon your face. How wonderful it is for us to know that you look upon us and that you are with us. Thank you, Lord, for this day and again, the mercy and the loving kindness that you show us, that we can gather freely together of our own free will to come and meet you in this place today. And thank you for the teaching, Lord. It means so much, Lord. And you know each and every one of our hearts, down to the very things that we even try and keep from ourselves, Lord, that you know and that you are here to show us. I pray, accept right to the root of everything, Lord. that we open ourselves, that we bring ourselves to your feet. We open our hearts, Lord. Show us, Lord, where we need to sacrifice our hearts for you so that you can clean us out. And even though sometimes it feels like pain, that we can joyously look at it as a cleaning and a refining process so that you can use us, Lord, to your glory and to the glory of Jesus Christ and what is done on the cross already. I thank you for the opportunity to pray, Lord. My own personal heart, Lord, as you know my battle in prayer when I pray alone. It just always feels me, you know, Lord, that when I pray in a group that it feels more alive, almost that it's easier with an audience, Lord, but that you enrich me in my private prayer, that you meet me there on my knees where I sometimes feel like my prayer is only going to the roof or that it feels empty, that you show me, that you turn up like David cried, Lord, that you don't leave him, and that we pray from a place of victory. What an awesome thing it is to realize that all over again. We pray from a place of victory, not of defeat. You have overcome it. We can stand as soldiers, fully dressed in armor, and we are ready, Lord.
Yes.
And we ask that you just enrich us in that all the time and every day, and remind us every day that you are the high commander in chief of your soldiers who we are. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you that we are once again reminded of that. And as I pray, I feel hot, Lord.
Yes,
I feel your heat, and I feel Holy Spirit here. And that is so awesome. Like Craig said, that thickness. And I feel it. And I want to stay here. And it's the world outside when we enter into that, Lord, that we don't lose this heat and this fire, Lord. I pray that, and I say thank you.
Thank you.
And Lord, I come before you for some things of the flesh that we go through in our lives, Lord, that we also give that over in victory as Craig's dental procedure tomorrow. Lord, we already thank you for your hand in that, Lord, that it will be to your glory and that it will give Craig through the pain that he might have to go through, but it will give him victory and confidence and growth and just absolutely blooming for you, Lord. And we pray for Hendrik, Lord, and the stroke, you know, his heart, Lord, you know, everything in his life, that you will use this to lift him up and that it will be for your glory, Lord. We thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, for every person here. And we bless the people in your name, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your love. And we bring glory to you. You are your ever merciful kindness, your never-ending kindness. May we reach right into eternity, right there where Jesus is interceding for us. That is so wild, Lord. That is so awesome to come into your presence in your kingdom. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
We know that it's going to be a success, but we just ask that in Jesus' precious name. Father, we thank you for this word that you have shared with us today. And Father, I ask that these seeds that were sown will be sown in fertile ground, Lord, and that we will not forget, that it will not be sown on the rough ground, but on fertile soil, so that it will bear fruit, Lord.
Yes.
Father, help us to be fruitful in your kingdom, Lord. Help us to draw near to you so that you can be your still small voice and do what you've asked us to do. Help us to be obedient to you, Lord. Help us to go left or right as you lead us, Lord. And Father, as we have heard your word today, Lord, help us to be transformed by your word, so that we may give you glory, Lord, because you deserve the glory.
Stop.
And we just want to praise you and honor you as our Father. We want to thank you for what you have done for us and what you're going to do. And Father, we ask that as we leave, that we will be bearers of your light in the world, Lord, and that all men may be drawn to you because of what you've done in our lives, Lord, and that you will receive the glory always. We praise you and honor you for this day, and we pray a blessing. We pray, and Lord, we pray that you will continue to guide him and lead him and use him, Lord, and bless him and bless the procedure tomorrow, Lord. Thank you that it is finished, Lord.
Yes.
And we just praise you and honor you in Jesus' name.
It's all done.
Heavenly Father, I may be weeping, but it's not weeping in the progress. But it's weeping with tears of joy and gratitude for the work that you've done with my sons up.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you that you were faithful. That I could put my trust in you. The response of my prayers. This page right here was a time early, in the early days when I was ready to give up. I just cried up to God and I said, this is too hard. I cannot do this anymore. But for a brief moment, I took my hand off the wheel and I said, Satan, you can do your worst. I cannot do any more. But that was just such a brief, fleeting moment, Lord. And the minute I took my hand off, I grabbed that wheel again. Because I knew, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you loved Craig more than you loved me. And that you had a plan and a purpose for his life. And that you loved him in the world. And you promised never to let him go. So thank you, Lord. I just want to say thank you for your mercy and your grace.
Thank you.
Thank you that you, I can put my trust in you, and you find a way every day to ask us, do you trust me? Lord, you are worthy to be trusted. I just want to give you all honor and all glory. Thank you for the work you have done in my son's life. Thank you that you will continue to grow him, to nurture him, to feed him, to provide for him, to encourage him. Thank you for the hope that you have given him. Thank you, Lord, that you will continue the work that you started in his life, and you will complete it. So I continue to have my faith and my trust in you, Lord, that your will be done in his life and in ours. In Jesus' name.
Lord, I pray that you meet every single one of us in this place, Lord. Let us build an intimate relationship with you, Lord. And that you paid the price, you purchased us, Lord. Our lives are no longer ours. Change our point of view. I pray that you bring deliverance, you bring healing and restoration in every single individual circumstance. We know that you answer prayer. Your word says, if my people shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, that you will hear us from your heavenly abode in eternity, and you will heal our nation, Lord. You will heal your people and restore them. Lord, shock us. Plug us in, Lord, to your Holy Spirit. Shock us, Lord. Electrocute us. Revive us to life, Lord. Quicken our spirits. And fill us with your awe and your fear and godly reverence. And Lord, as this group grows in spiritual maturity and spiritual strength, let this living water flow into every connection, every relationship, every individual. Let us all be able to be fruitful for you. Father, as your word says, you have given every one of us talents. You have given every one of us abilities. And none is greater or lesser than the other. Lord, you are not a respecter of persons. But every single one of us has a role to play in your kingdom and in your army. And give us the boldness and the courage that is required to stand firm, to go on the offensive, knowing that you surround us, that you lead us, and that you will always provide a way through. And that we know that we have a high priest and a King of kings, a Lord of lords, and the Lord of the heavenly armies, who does not waver, who does not stand back. You never stood back, Lord. But Lord, you spoke with authority that the people were amazed at how you spoke with the authority that you spoke. And it was not like the scribes, like they taught. So Lord, give each and every one of us that voice of authority. Bring out that roar inside every single one of us, Lord. And let it start in our prayer life. Lord, let this voice, this sound be born in each individual's lives. And that, Lord, as the mother lion roars and she wants to protect her cubs, as she stands up in that kind of authority, Lord, as the father lion roars and protects his pride from any encroaching danger, that they all stand up together and roar as one. This is what you want your people to be, in unity, together, in authority, together, protecting, loving, not standing back. And Lord, we thank you that where two or more are gathered in your name, we have fellowship with you. And we thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, that our eyes and our ears and our hearts are opened, that these seeds will germinate and bring forth much fruit. Because, Lord, your will is for us to be not just overcomers, but our cups to be overflowing in the presence of our enemies. That is the authority, Lord. Overflow every single one of our cups, every single one of our families, every single person. Lord, across this earth,
Let your people, your called out separated ones, grow them up, Lord, in the understanding of the victory, in the understanding of the authority, and that we are not under a cheap grace, but under a costly grace, Lord. And lead us into your victorious grace. And let us not take it for granted. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence here in this room. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have come and met us this day. Keep your hand upon us, above us, around us, and within us, Lord. Fill me up, Lord. Fill us up continuously with your Holy Spirit, with the strength and the force of your living water, the supernatural force that raised you from the dead. The same Holy Spirit of God resides in and around all of us. And we shall not fear. Fear not, for I am with you, says the Lord. Do not be ashamed. Do not be naked. But know that you are clothed. And know that you are in my perfect love. And you are not in fear. For the spirit of fear is at enmity with my love. All honor and glory to your holy name, for who you are. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, the name like there is no other, or ever will be, on the earth, in the heavens. And at this day, Lord, let us bless you and kneel before you, our King, our Master, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our all-conquering General, Commander-in-Chief. Maranatha, Yeshua, come again soon, our King. Let us be ready. Let us be ready. Our lamps full of oil, burning bright.